You're listening to Extra Innings, presented by Next Level Training Center on the Sports Objective. Join us every Sunday night on Facebook Live and our YouTube channel as we talk East Carolina baseball.
Welcome in to Extra Innings, presented by Next Level Training Center in Greenville, right here on the Sports Objective. A special Monday night edition. Welcome in all the way from China Grove, North Carolina. That will be Bubba Rosenbaum. How are you, man?
I'm doing well, Dave. Hope you are. And yeah, like you just mentioned, it's not Sunday night, but better late than never. Looking forward, as always, to talking some Pirate baseball.
No doubt. Very happy to have a great Pirate. And somebody doing a great job this year. Really proud of him. All the way in Greenville, North Carolina, the play-by-play voice of the East Carolina baseball team, Scott Rogers. Scooter, man, what's up?
What's up, Dave? Thanks for having me on.
Glad to have you on. Obviously, not happy with the outcome for this past weekend. But the Pirates are still in the hunt, so to speak, 24-17. They're 8-4 in conference play. And you could say, well, Dave, they haven't played well. They haven't been the Pirate into their Pirate potential yet. Maybe the standards the fans won't, but Scott, we're still tied for first place.
We are, and like you said too, and still a pretty good spot in terms for a potential at-large bid at the end of the season. But it was a frustrating weekend down at Tulane in a series that Pirates could have won. Just come out a couple different things here and there, and it could have gone a totally different way. But like you said, still tied for first place right now and still a whole lot of season left in terms of first place and RPI-wise as well.
Before we really dive into that series against Tulane that included, I guess, what, 18 or 19 home runs, the ball was flying out of Greer Field there at Turchin Stadium. But just let's go back to the UNC-Wilmington game, coming off that sweep of UCF, as I was very intrigued, and I think a lot of folks were, to see how the Pirates would handle the success, and they certainly handled it very well coming home to play that rivalry matchup against the Seahawks, and jumped on UNC Wilmington early and really, you know, expanded the lead there in the middle innings, and then UNC Wilmington got on the board and the Pirates immediately responded and went on for an 8-2 victory.
Yeah, that UNCW game was pretty much a good overall performance by the Pirates. And, you know, much different than what we saw down at UCF, where the Pirates exploded for, you know, 8-10 runs an inning. We saw it pretty much spread out through that UNCW game, but still putting a very high number of runs on the board. Good pitching in that matchup as well, because that UNCW team might not show in their record, but that is a really good UNCW team. And the Seahawks were dealing with some injuries in that contest, of one of their best and Brooks Baldwin being out for that game. But still a great overall performance by the Pirates, and it was a good win heading into the series at Tulane.
No doubt about it. And, you know, one of the things I remember looking at the schedule, I'll look at again to count the number of games, and maybe, Scott, you know, is that I heard that today, Pirate fans talking about – some Pirate fans were talking about how we played a lot of road games, and I think that – what's going to bode well for the Pirates is maybe we can – I think we're going to play a lot better at home. You play usually better at home than you do away. Obviously, I don't have a crystal ball. I'm not Nostradamus by any stretch of the imagination, but I just have a feeling playing those games, that big homestand here we have coming up in like the next month, and then you have the conference tournament. You find a way to win the regular season. You do well in the conference tournament. Maybe you win the conference tournament. And there you go, Scott. I think that coming up, my point is that we've had some tough battles here that things didn't quite go our way, but I really believe at home, and you know how we had the best, maybe I'm biased, but we had the best fans in the world, people packing Clark LeClaire Stadium. I just have a good feeling for the next month of May baseball.
Absolutely. You know, like you said, we have played a lot of road games earlier in the season, which does bode well, especially for RPI. But having three of your last four series at home in terms of conference play is going to be huge. And also having two midweek games at home as well, that's going to help with RPI. And that's Campbell and Duke. those are a lot of games that are going to be helpful at Clark-Clair. And as the weather warms up, attendance is going to go up even more. And the Pirates, I'm not sure exactly what the official average has been this season, but it's got to be right at 3,000 fans, because it seems that the Pirates are normally at 2,800 to 3,000 fans, it seems, every single game. But like I said, as the weather warms up, the crowds are going to get better. The way this team has been playing as of lately, other than down at Tulane, you know, this team really wants the crowd is behind them. And we all know that crowds at Clark-Clair can be very exciting, especially, and they can help the Pirates in terms on the field performance as well.
Yeah, Scott, taking a look at the weekend, obviously the Pirates went into the series shorthanded on the mound with Jake Kuchmaner out due to some arm soreness. Unfortunately, it's not appearing to be anything more than that. And Tulane was down a starter as well. And, you know, in that game on Friday, Tulane did get to Ryder a bit. And then the Pirates, you know, not surprisingly, opted to use a number of arms to get through that the remainder of the game. And, you know, try to do their best to conserve pitching for the second and third games of the series.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said, I said it on that Friday game for the broadcast. It just seemed like the Pirates just couldn't quite find grass with a lot of hits they were having on Friday. It wasn't like they were striking out a bunch against Dylan Carmouche. It just seemed like they were hitting balls right to people. And they were hitting balls hard as well, and it was just one of those frustrating games. But definitely, you know, Friday and Sunday didn't have the best stuff on the mound. And that was a very good hitting Tulane team as well. And, you know, obviously it helped the Pirates too, but the wind down in New Orleans, it blowing straight out to the outfield every single game this weekend with the amount of home runs that were hit, that definitely didn't help either. But a lot of them were solo shots, and it wasn't like, you know, hey, we're going to be down 3 or 4 runs after every single home run. But in terms of pitching, you know, it seemed like the Pirates didn't have the best stuff on the mound, except for Saturday. Carter Spivey, my goodness, what a performance from him on Saturday, and earning American Athletic Conference Pitcher of the Week today. It was a heck of a performance by him, and definitely the best performance the Pirates have seen out of the bullpen this year. But that Saturday game, the Pirates hit the ball well and with good pitching that combined. And like I said, that Tulane team was a very good hitting team with some of the top hitters in the American Athletic Conference, and one that it seemed like the Pirates had kept quiet all weekend heading into Sunday, and that was Ethan Groff. But he really came out of his shell on Sunday and helped push the Green Wave to a series win over the Pirates.
And Scott, even though the Pirate pitching had been very solid, having watched Tulane swing the bats against Houston, I really felt like probably in at least a couple games in the series, which turned out to be the case, that the Pirates would probably have to score at least, you know, 8, 9, 10 runs. And yeah, the Green Wave can definitely swing the bats. They had been, you know, a little Jekyll and Hyde, as Corey Glore had said in some interviews prior to that series. But they certainly swung the bat well over the weekend. And as far as the Pirates are concerned, the Pirates really started swinging the bat well and having some results to show for it during the middle to late innings of Friday's game. And they carried that into Saturday.
Yeah, and, you know, and like I said, you know, it looked good late in that game on Friday, but prior to some of those starters coming out, and like I said, it wasn't like the Pirates were striking out a bunch or not putting the ball in play. It was they were just hitting the ball right to people, it seemed. And it was one of those frustrating games where, you know, you can't find grass, it seems, on every single at bat. But, you know, getting some of those guys in there, too, at the end of the game was a good thing to see and have them, you know, have some good performances as well. And obviously, for that being an out away from being a run rule contest, it was good to see Carter Cunningham come in and knock his solo shot to keep that from being a run rule. And then some other guys come in as well and get some good at bats. But that seemed like the story on Friday, at least from my perspective, was it just seemed like they just couldn't quite find grass early in that contest and keep up with the Tulane offense.
You talk about Carter Spivey, so we'll go ahead and say, not surprisingly, Carter Spivey was named the Pitcher of the Week in the American Athletic Conference, and he, of course, is our PGXGloves.com Pitcher of the Week. You know, Carter was tremendous. You know, he he was about as efficient as you could be in that midweek game against UNC Wilmington, recording seven outs and just throwing 13 pitches to go through those two in the third innings. And then when the Pirates really needed him in Saturday's game, he delivered, to say the least, seven and a third, one unearned run on just three hits. And I think he struck out seven and didn't walk a batter. Maybe he had one walk.
Yeah, it was a great performance from Carter. And I believe, if I remember correctly, Carter, I think, retired in a row the first 13 batters that he faced. I think he had, four or five, one, two, three innings on the mound when he came in. And it was almost like it was a starter's performance from him, throwing that seven in the third. But Carter is such a great key to come out of that Pirate bullpen. And Saturday was a great example of that. He's going to be a key piece to this Pirate bullpen heading down the stretch in the later part of the season.
Yeah, it was, like you're saying, very quickly, Dave, as far as Carter Spivey's numbers in that Saturday, seven and a third innings of work, he did throw 98 pitches.
Yeah, I was just going to talk about that very thing, is that I was happy to see Scott with this team on Friday. We didn't get the results we wanted, but we came out on Saturday, and that's the Pirate team. I guess the expectations of the fan base, certainly I'm sure that there's nobody more frustrated than the players and coaches, because there seems like there's a lot of bright spots for this program. And I guess the word for me this year has been consistency, but we know that there's a lot of great talent on this team. And I guess the question for me would be ultimately, like Friday night and Saturday, and then yesterday was Sunday. It just seems like whatever Pirate team shows up, and maybe that's just, I guess, they're trying to find their identity.
Yeah, and I think they've kind of found that identity. And like you said, there's still some, like you said, consistency issues. But in terms of spirits of the team, the players are still in good spirits. You know, it's not like they lose a game and they feel like they've lost the weekend or anything like that. And that's never been something that a Cliff Godwin team has had in any season that he's been here. And that showed in the game on Friday, you know, being down 10-0 going into your last out there in the top of the seventh, Carter Cunningham coming in and knocking that solo shot, and the Pirates eventually putting four more runs up after that. And this Pirate team's not going to give up. That's not who they are. That's never what, like I just said, the Pirate program has been under Cliff Godwin. And, you know, they obviously were frustrated with those two losses and know that they could have won that series. But it's just still working through some small issues here and there. But having those three of the four last series at home is going to help, especially building some momentum on this team, I believe.
Yeah, in addition to Carter Cunningham, I think you had at least three other Pirates, maybe four, who had multi-home run weekends. You know, Bryson Wall continuing to swing a hot bat, and then also Jacob Jenkins Cowart.
Yep, and, you know, I talked about Bryson Wall over the broadcast over the past few weeks, and with him starting the season in that leadoff spot and really been moved down in the lineup over the past few weeks, we saw him in the four spot in the order this weekend. But he has really, like you said, been hitting the ball really good since – coming into conference play. And that's a bat too that everybody knows once it gets hot, it could be a very dangerous part of this Pirate lineup. But Jacob Jenkins Cowart, running out of words for the freshman almost. And, you know, asked Cliff Godwin about Jacob on his pregame interview for Sunday's broadcast. And he says, you know, he's always sitting right there in the front row for team meetings. He's always the one to ask questions, how to get better, that sort of thing. And he said that's what's been mainly the keys for him this season and having such a successful freshman campaign. Another one that's been hitting the ball pretty good, especially in terms of the long ball, has been Cam Clonch over the weekend. And he's a Pirate bat that at times can really be helpful for the Pirates, especially with a timely hit when needed.
Yeah, what a weekend for Bryson Wall. While we're on the topic, Bryson once again was our PGAsGloves.com player of the week. You know, I think he had six hits, two of those for his second consecutive weekend, left the yard, and he drove in, I believe it was five runs. So Bryson Wall right there, just shy of 290 now, really swinging a hot bat. He's raised his batting average 40 points or so in the last couple weeks.
Yep, and him coming off the American Athletic Conference Player of the Week last week as well. But like you said, really starting to swing a hot bat, getting that average up there. And there's a lot of guys in this Pirate order that's average has been creeping up over the past few weeks since starting conference play. You look at Alec Makarevich right around that 300 spot. Jacob Starling, another one that's just shy of 300, I believe. But a lot of these Pirate hitters starting to heat up and at the right time as well.
Another one, Zach Agnos. Didn't have his best weekend from a numbers standpoint, but he had some excellent swings. He started Sunday's game off with a home run of probably, what, about 415 feet off the batter's eye. And, you know, he was finding his way on base. I think it was Friday night's game, perhaps, where he had two or three walks.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too, with this Pirate team, with Zach, like you just said, finding ways to get on base, much like Josh Moreland has had this year. Obviously, a slow start to the plate at the beginning of the season and has been working some base hits in there as the season goes along. But his on-base percentage is almost close to 400 right now. And that's one thing that this Pirate team has been able to do when they're not producing at the plate in terms of hits. They're laying down sack bunts. They're getting on via walks. They're doing those things to get on base and battling through that adversity, even when they're not getting done at the plate in terms of hits.
Yeah, Scott, and that's the thing that a Cliff Godwin team that I love so much is small ball, but they're doing so many great things. And the fact that we always talk about Cliff Godwin, that we love the grit he has, and that's obviously the team. You see that in the team, like you talked about, not giving up. And you can start seeing that thing of just keep grinding away. And just like it's the same thing I teach my son about basketball or baseball, for example, the two sports he plays, is the very fact of if you don't try to shoot a ball in basketball, then you're still going to be where you're in a slump, so to speak. And the same thing with baseball. And it just seems like the only way, just like the saying goes, the only way that you can break through is through. And for these guys, I'm just really proud of the fact that they're still, like, I'm glad to hear you say that they're still in good spirits. Obviously, you can tell listening to you guys and obviously on the television broadcast as well, they're not giving up. So it's a matter of now, I guess, just keep doing that and then things will finally work out.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, Cliff Godwin's not a coach either where, you know, you lose a series or lose a game. He's not going to let it linger in the dugout. It's, hey, we lost, move on. Tomorrow's a new day. Go out there, battle, and win the day. And that's one thing that I think makes Coach Godwin such a great coach to have here at East Carolina. And just like I said, pushing that loss aside, it happened. It's over. No reason to let it linger on you throughout the weekend and move on, because every day is a different day, and you just got to go out there. And like he says, get 1% better every day.
And, Dave, it was very interesting. And Scooter, obviously you were calling the game, so you weren't, I'm sure you're not aware of this, but it was funny hearing the ESPN Plus side of things for Tulane. You know, when the Pirates had a couple base runners on there down 10-5 in the top of the ninth, they're certainly aware of, you know, they saw what the Pirates did last weekend at UCF, putting up a 10 spot and then 8 in an inning as well. So they knew that even though the Pirates were down to their final out or two, that game was not over by any means. And they were talking about how odd it was to have that type of tension in a 5-run ball game.
Right. And, you know, that's one thing that's going to be a threat to every single team that the Pirates play the rest of the year, is they know, hey, this team can explode in innings and put those 6, 7, 8 runs, 10 runs up even an inning. And, you know, that's one thing, like we said, this Pirate team, hitting is contagious in a good and a bad way. But in terms of when it's good, the Pirates take advantage of that and really pour it on opponents like we saw down at UCF. And that's going to be key, because also, you know, hey, you give up 10 runs in an inning to another team, that's really a gut punch when you give up that amount of runs in an inning. But good to see the Pirates do that and know that they have that potential, and keeps the opponents worried about it as well.
Go ahead, Dave.
No, I was just going to say, with the very fact of the series, obviously we're disappointed not to pick up the series, but We're obviously going to have a game tomorrow night in Raleigh with NC State. We lost 2-0 back a few weeks back. And now here's our chance to this is a big game coming up with NC State, not only from the perspective because it's like a rival team in state, but also, Scott, for the fact of the RPI. And it'll be great for this team, I guess, morale-wise, too, to beat the in-state rival like NC State.
Absolutely. And, you know, you, like you said, it's going to be good from a regional perspective, good for a rivalry perspective in terms of the teams playing. But you throw all that out the window, and, you know, like you said, it's a big game in terms of RPI right now, because this is a one of the last really big RPI games the Pirates have the rest of the year, because it's the last road midweek game of the season. And with it being a Power 5 opponent in North Carolina State and a team that has a pretty good RPI at the moment, if the Pirates can go into Raleigh tomorrow night and get that win, that would probably be a good, I would say, 8 to 10 point jump in the RPI. And that would almost put us in that almost definite at-large bid perspective in terms of where the Pirates would be located. I think we're at 52 right now. And talking with Coach O, with him having past experience on the selection committee, he said for you to be comfortable with an at-large bid, he said you need to really be around 40 or above. And obviously, if the Pirates can win tomorrow night, they would get very close to that. And with so many games left the rest of the season, it could definitely put the Pirates up in that range as well.
Taking a look at NC State, the Wolfpack are coming off a series loss against Louisville. I think they maybe won the middle game in that series, and a lot of runs were scored, and I think Louisville scored 10-plus runs in every game, because even the game NC State was victorious, I think it was 15-10.
Yep, and this NC State team, you know, obviously we've seen them already this year, and for the Pirates to have only given up 2 runs against NC State in the previous matchup, that was big, because this NC State team, like you just said, can put up a lot of runs, and obviously they still have Tommy White in that lineup, who knows how many home runs he's hit already this season. I know he was named another player of the week this week from his performance at Louisville, and this NC State team obviously is going to be hungry. I believe it's going to be a sold out contest in Doak Field tomorrow night. I believe the grandstand and any reserve seating has already been sold out. So it's going to be a good crowd. It's going to be a good environment, much like we saw in Greenville and always when the Wolfpack come here. But another thing to put in on this game is it's a national TV broadcast with it being on the ACC network tomorrow night, which is why the game was moved to a 7 p.m. start. So a lot of eyes are going to be on this game tomorrow night as well. But another reason why it would be a big win for the Pirates.
No doubt about it. And certainly, like we were talking about, Scott, it's not – if you're looking at any kind of rivalry, it's great to win the game, but ultimately the Pirates, they're not talking about the big picture just yet, but you got to know that that's a big one. And obviously this weekend is going to be big with the first of several series, like we talked about, left for conference play with Cincinnati. So if somehow you can win tomorrow night, you like your chances against Cincinnati, even though I know they played well this year, but at the same time, I think the Pirates definitely have the talent, and you know, but it's not about what's on the paper. You still have to play the games, but obviously, but this week, another pivotal week for the Pirates.
Absolutely. And Cincinnati, I believe right now in a tie for second place in the American, if I believe, and this is another team that the Pirates will face that obviously they already have faced them this year, but Cincinnati, a very offensive heavy club. And one struggle that they've had this year has been pitching. But one thing that has bailed that pitching out is because their offense has been so good this year, and a tough weekend for them losing 2-3 to South Florida. And that's a team that has really been struggling since entering American Athletic Conference play. But so they're going to be, I would say, wound tight coming into Greenville this weekend, ready to get back on the winning track, especially after losing those two to South Florida.
Yeah, Scott, that series loss, dropping 2-3 at home to South Florida, that really, really surprised me. And they gave up 19 runs in the Sunday loss, losing 19-5 to the Bulls.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said, that South Florida team had been struggling coming into conference play, and I'd heard they were dealing with some suspensions as well going into that Sunday contest. And for them to put up 19 runs against that Cincinnati team really surprised me. And that's a team, obviously, last year got hot to win the American. And, you know, obviously they got the key pieces to do it. And that's a team that Pirates will need to look out for at the end of the year, obviously, because they just showed that they can put up a lot of runs on the board and sneak up on a team, especially like Cincinnati.
And talking about the league standings, the Pirates, as Dave mentioned, are 8-4. You also have Tulane, of course, at 8-4. Tulane obviously has the tiebreaker in that head-to-head matchup. The Pirates hold the tiebreaker over UCF after having swept the Knights. The Knights fell to Jacksonville in the midweek last week after getting swept by ECU, but then they got things together, went out to Wichita State, and, man, the Shockers have really been struggling. For a second consecutive weekend, the Shockers were swept at home after being swept by Cincinnati. UCF was able to get it done this time.
Yep, and, you know, we talked about it all season long on the broadcast, me and Coach O has, and, you know, we've said from the start of the season that it's probably going to be 1-3 of East Carolina, Tulane, or UCF coming out on top of the American. It looks like that might be the case this year, but obviously teams like Cincinnati as well that could sneak in there. It seems like Cincinnati always plays good in American Athletic Conference play, but South Florida team that's been struggling, like you just said, Wichita State as well has really been struggling since that win against the Pirates in the Sunday contest of that series. And, you know, it'd be interesting to see what Wichita State does with that program, just because with the storied history of Wichita State. Now, obviously, you have Eric Wedge and Mike Pelfrey on staff, two former Shockers themselves. But because of that storied history at Wichita State, how long do they really, in simple terms, put up with the losing in that program? Just to see, you know, especially with Eric Wedge having plenty of experience, not at the college level, but in the major league level as well. And it'll be interesting to see what happens with that program at the end of the year.
And two other clubs the Pirates have remaining on the schedule, the Memphis Tigers out at Memphis, and then Pirates will close out the season at home against the Houston Cougars. Houston took 2 out of 3 from Memphis over the weekend there in Houston. Memphis actually won on Friday night, and then Houston won two close ball games in games 2 and 3. All of those games decided by either 1 or 2 runs.
Yeah, and that Memphis club struggled at the beginning of the year, and they've actually been playing pretty good in AAC play right now. They've snuck up on some teams. Obviously, they beat UCF in the series. They played them in Houston, a team that's kind of been up and down this season. But that Memphis club is a team that the Pirates will have to watch out for next weekend, just because you're playing them in Memphis, and like I said, they've won some games in the American. They could sneak up on you, but going to Houston as well. One big thing about Houston is, much like us with Cincinnati, how we have to play them twice, the team they have to play twice is Tulane. And so that's going to be big to see how the second series between those two go, especially in terms of the tie in first place right now.
And another note regarding Memphis very quickly, Dave, Darren Schoenrock, a longtime Tigers coach, is his swan song, so to speak, as he announced, I guess it was prior to the season, that he will step down and retire following the 2022 campaign.
I missed that. I didn't realize that. Scooter, as far as a big picture with American, as far as making them, a number of American teams making a regional, how many bids do you think we're getting? Maybe 2 or 3? I mean, I know the league is down this year, so that's what I've been debating in my head. It's like, how many would we get, do you think?
The most the American would get this year would be 2. I think the only way you get 2 is if either ECU or Tulane finishes in that top 40 of the RPI, and one of them wins the conference tournament. I think if ECU or Tulane, one of them wins the conference tournament, you're probably looking at a one big league this year. But if you have someone like a South Florida or UCF sneak up and win that conference tournament, and ECU has a good showing or Tulane has a good showing in the conference tournament and is sitting in that you know, 30 to 40 threshold in the RPI, that's the only way I think you're looking at multiple teams making the tournament from the American.
Yeah, it's going to be a – that's one thing that if you're a Pirate fan, then, you know, every – you say, like, in broadcasting, every word matters. Scott, well, the same thing with this year. Every pitch, every bat, at-bat matters this year like never before when things are – the margin of error for the Pirates is razor thin this year.
Absolutely. You know, and another thing in terms of RPI-wise with the conference and how it's been down the past two seasons, a lot of things – the one thing that people don't realize is how much it hurt the American when UConn left in terms of baseball, just because UConn's RPI was always in the top 25, it seemed. And that's a, that was a big loss for the conference, especially in terms of RPI.
To your point, not to get off on a tangent, but UConn this year, for folks who follow it closely, the Huskies have been up there in the top 15 and top 20 for a large part of the year. But yeah, no doubt regarding that. And very quickly before we move on from the league standings and start to wrap things up, taking a look at those league standings, the Pirates, Tulane, and UCF are all 8-4. Then you have tied for fourth, if you will. You have Houston and Cincinnati, and they're there at 7-5. So really you still have five teams that are very much in the hunt, and obviously three that have kind of the inside track with Tulane being in the best position. And I say that, but UCF gets Tulane at home this weekend, and that's certainly a series that we'll have a very close eye on taking place down in Orlando.
Yep, and you know, there's obviously, it's like we've said, you know, every series in the American is going to be crucial no matter who the team is the rest of the year. And as always, in the American, it's going to be a fun race to watch heading in the Clearwater.
Yeah, I think Bubba is going to invite us over, Scott, for, well, you'll obviously be on the road with the Pirates, but a lot of viewing parties, right, Bubba? It's going to be a lot of great games in the American. I know that that's one thing that we do with football, basketball, baseball, the big three, so to speak, is that I love the American, I love the league, and I think that it's so competitive. This year with baseball, man, it's going to, I hate to say horse race, but it's definitely going to be, it feels like that this year.
Absolutely. You know, it seems like that, you know, every year in the American almost, except for last year with the rare year, the Pirates just absolutely breezed through conference play, it seemed. But this is going to be a league, obviously, that's going to be very tight this year. And once Houston and UCF and Cincinnati leave and the new teams are welcomed into the American, you throw Charlotte into that mix in a few years. It's going to be really fun to watch the American then, too.
No question. Like what Coach O said, told us, and I know he said, but the American is going to be a really great baseball league when these new some people may not have liked it for certainly for football, but baseball, man, there's a lot of great clubs that are coming in.
Absolutely. And the same thing for basketball. I think it's going to help. And obviously, that's way off topic right now. But I think that's going to help East Carolina in basketball, too. And with Charlotte coming in, obviously, for every sport, that's going to create a good in-state conference rival for the Pirates as well.
I know with looking ahead to baseball, one question I want to ask you, I know that maybe Pirate fans, if you know anything, but saw today where Skylar Brooks has entered the transfer portal, and apparently, according to Steven Nigo with 24/7 Sports, horse the colors that he left the team last week. Do you know anything about what happened there?
I do not know much at all about it. Like you said, it was announced today he was in the transfer portal. I had heard some rumblings over the weekend, but nothing official. But I have not heard anything on that matter. But I know that Skylar was dealing with some arm soreness with that injury and had been out most of the year, it seemed. But wish Skylar all the best. And Skylar was a great guy to be around traveling with the team, and wish him nothing but the best in the future.
And Scooter, also, in addition to Skylar Brooks, Aiden Edwards, one of our many catchers on the roster, didn't he enter the portal as well?
That is also what I had heard. But like I said, it was the same time that it seemed that Skylar's rumblings had started. But another one that I've not heard much on either.
Just curious, because it seems like at work or whatever, just because I do a podcast and with the guys with Bubba, I'll be stopped by a lot of Pirate baseball fans. What, like, for example, one of the things I've heard all season long that I don't think we really know the answer to the question, or maybe y'all do and I don't, is I get asked here, not on a like daily basis or weekly basis, but asking if Carson Wisenhunt will be pitching for us next year. I mean, I could argue that both ways, but that's another question I've gotten, it seems like, all season long. And it really, you know, you think about it, that's been something that, not to dwell on it, but man, that really was a crushing blow to this team early on. I don't think it's a big factor now, but it certainly made a big deal at the beginning of the season.
It was, and it did hurt losing Carson. And, you know, obviously he's going to be a pretty high prospect in the Major League Baseball draft this year, but it's good that that window is still open for him to return next season, depending on what happens in the draft. But wish him nothing but the best as well. And it's like Coach Godwin said when the news came out, you know, he said that Carson made a mistake, and, you know, you just got to live with it, and nothing, there's no reason to hold anything against Carson. You just got to move on from making some mistakes, just like everybody does when they make a mistake.
And obviously, with the transition, you know, not only with that situation with Carson Wisenhunt, but the Pirates had already lost a ton of talented arms off of last season, pitching staff. But at the same time, I think all in all, this staff has performed very well this year. I mean, going into the Tulane series, I know we ranked right up there, I think top 30 to 35 nationally in ERA, and as well as some other categories. And on the whole, I think this staff's performance has been much better than a lot of people would truly realize, because I think with the way the weekend rotation is, with the way we've used so many pitchers in games instead of two or three arms, that people don't realize how well this group on the whole have really pitched.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've talked about that all season on the broadcast too, other than a few hiccups here and there. It's like you said, this pitching staff has been really good this year. And I don't think people realize how good it has been this year, especially just with the up and down season. But this pitching staff has kept the Pirates in a lot of games this season. Example A, down at Tulane on Saturday with Carter Spivey. But, you know, it's like you said, this pitching staff has been really good this year, given how the season has gone for the Pirates.
No doubt about it. It's going to be fun to see how things play out. And I know with tomorrow night's game, we talked about it sold out. Have you heard, is anybody like the secondhand market where Pirate fans, if they want to see the NC State game, Scott, I'm sure StubHub or something like that, if you want to pay a lot more, then certainly you could do that, right?
I would assume so. I have not seen anything like that, but obviously if you can't get a ticket, obviously you got Pirate Sports Network you can listen to. Tomorrow night we'll be on the air at 6:45 with the Bud Light Dugout Show, and obviously you can download the Sync My Game app as well and sync up our broadcast with the ACC Network TV broadcast as well.
You read my mind before we let you go. That's what I was going to say. Also, as far as one last question for you, as far as to promote your any kind of social media, can you do that for us?
Yep, absolutely. You know, we did another booth review down at Tulane this weekend. And when we go to Memphis in a few weeks, we'll do the exact same thing and also try to bring back what I call the Scooters history lesson and kind of give a big synopsis of the stadium and the ballpark as well. Just with so much travel that has been going on the past few weeks, it's been tough to get that stuff together, but it's been fun to do stuff like that. And, you know, I think that's one of the funnest parts I've had about being the broadcaster this year for the Pirates, is being able to see so many different ballparks and traveling throughout the country and seeing all those ballparks, seeing other towns as well. And that's been one really fun part that I've had this year with the Pirates.
No doubt.
And this year, last weekend, rather, Scott, you had the chance to catch up with and, you know, opportunity to experience New Orleans. And you know, did Corey and did you guys get the opportunity, you know, to go out to dinner or something like that?
We did. Me, him, and Malcolm got to hang out Thursday night before the series got started, and then Saturday night as well. And I don't know if you remember the name Steve Ullman. He used to be working in the creative side with ECU Athletics. He's at Tulane now as sure. well. So he joined us Saturday night, and it was good to catch up with both of them. And it was fun to see Corey. And, you know, I made a post on Twitter and Facebook the other night just with a picture of me and Corey talking about how it's how great Corey has been to talk to throughout the season. And he has helped me so much from the broadcast end and giving me tips throughout the year, telling me how to handle certain situations as well. And Corey, it's like I said, I'm proud to call Corey a friend. And, you know, I think of him more than a friend these days than I would say a coworker almost, being both of us working for Learfield. But it was awesome to be able to see him this weekend, and great. I'll be excited to see him again in a little bit less than a month down in Clearwater.
All right. Can't wait to listen to that broadcast. And I hope that you're going to be excited tomorrow night and talking about a big Pirate victory over the Wolfpack. We'll see how that goes in Raleigh. And, of course, the homestand in Greenville against Cincinnati. Scott, thanks, man, for the trip and the visit here, I should say, to the Sports Objective. And we appreciate it here on Extra Innings. Hope you have a great week, my friend.
Yes, sir. Dave and Bubba, thanks for having me on, and go Pirates.
All right. Sounds good. Appreciate Scott coming on, as always. Enjoy the visit with him. And enjoy talking Pirate baseball, Bubba. Is not the kind of series we wanted. Obviously, losing that series at Tulane, but Tulane is a very good baseball team, no doubt. We're looking forward to bouncing back against the Wolfpack tomorrow night.
Yeah, clearly wasn't the weekend we were looking for by any means, but at the same time, making sure that we at least got one, and you know we're still very much in control of our own destiny. And I mean, you know, barring Tulane winning out and something crazy like that occurring, if the Pirates can play excellent baseball down the stretch, we can win another AAC championship. And one of the great things about our reputation, and then also playing the quality schedule that we do, I think our non-conference schedule is right around 20th, and our overall strength of schedule is 40th. So you have those things working in your favor. And just when you look at the big picture, I think right now 24-17, 15 games left in the regular season. Fingers crossed that we're able to get all those in. And I think the Pirates have an excellent chance to get to, you know, at least 35, 36 wins. And that's obviously going into the conference tournament. And, you know, you look at it, sure, it stunk to lose 2 out of 3 over the weekend. But, you know, we talked about in that 9-game stretch with 8 games of those 9 being on the road. The Pirates in that stretch are 6-2. So if we're able to win tomorrow night, 7-2, tremendous baseball in that stretch against Elon, UCF, UNC Wilmington, Tulane, and NC State.
No doubt. And you know what? We're going to be right in the mix. We're going to be, I hate to say that term, just fine. But I really believe, Bubba, you were the one, Bubba, I've got to give you credit. Way back when I first met you, we were talking about baseball, and I forgot why we were talking about baseball. I don't even think it was in season, but you and I were talking. It was probably the summer of 18, fall of 18. We were talking about baseball one day, and you reminded me how long a baseball season is when it comes to college baseball, with the regular season being 56 games. And that kind of has stuck with me since we've been doing this show together, that, you know, when Coach Logan, a lot of coaches talk about never get too high, never get too low. And yes, we don't want to lose. I mean, who wants to lose games? We don't want to lose games. But I think certainly for the Pirates, the fact that we're not playing our best baseball and we're still tied for first place says a lot about the program, says a lot about the coaching staff, the players, the support staff, Malcolm Gray, Scott Rogers. There's so many great people that are involved with the baseball program. And I tell you one thing, down in Clearwater, hey, you want to go to Clearwater, Bubba? I've never been to the conference tournament. I have been to Clearwater to see spring training, but man, that would be so cool. and the Pirates have a chance to win the regular season. And how about that, Bubba? We have a chance to win the regular season. We have a chance still to win the conference tournament. There's a lot of our goals that are still out there. So, yes, we're very disappointed, not the kind of season as far as the win totals is concerned, but we're still right in the mix of just about everything, maybe except for outside looking in. Maybe there's no chance of hosting, but, you know, stranger things have happened. I think it's a very slight chance of that right now. We just need to focus on NC State.
Yeah, we're a very capable baseball team. You know, if we handle our business down the stretch the way we can find our way into a regional most likely as a 3 seed, but we shall see. The biggest thing is that we earn a chance, and, you know, if you give a Pirate a chance, I've always thought that that when we make it through to Omaha, that it may be when it's kind of unexpected, and not that I necessarily think that will happen this year, but you never know. You get into a regional, you get the right matchups. This team's talented enough where they can make something good happen. And you just want to put your best foot forward and, you know, give that an opportunity.
No doubt about it. And I tell you what, that's all we can do, right? And keep supporting this program. I tell you one thing, Bubba, let me do my Bubba right now. Everybody needs to go out this weekend and let's support the Pirates. Let's have a rocking crowd. We know that we're going to have a good time and a great atmosphere. I'm sure the weather, I haven't had a chance, but I hope it's good. Another forecast. But anyway, Bubba, want to mention too really quick. I know it's a baseball program, but we saw that Brandon Suggs transferred. He's transferring to UCF. So for basketball, that was another quick Pirate thing. Get your Pirate tickets now for season tickets. I need to do that. 1-800-DAL-ECU. I just realized I've been busy at work the last few weeks. Need to do that. 1-800-DAL-ECU. Or you can simply go anytime to ecupirates.com. And I want to mention that we want to get past Bubba and I and Kyle, Matt. We've set a goal of 18,000. That's the sports objective goal that we have. And we want you to do so. Get your season tickets now and let's crush that record of 18,000. That would be amazing. And Mike Houston and company have done a great job there for sure. All right, Bubba, I know that we need to go get out of here, but I appreciate everybody watching. Listen, by the way, folks, want to remind you to go by Next Level Training Center. They're our great their title sponsor, Trent Gaynell. They've been very good to us the last 2 years. We appreciate them so much for the support of this program and talking baseball with you. We'll get out of here. Thank you so much for everybody tuning in. Thanks to Scott Rogers, a play-by-play voice of the Pirates, for the baseball Pirates, that is. And we appreciate him very, very much. Until next time, we'll be with you the next couple days. You've been watching Extra Innings, and it's brought to you by Next Level Training Center right here on the Sports Objective. Good night, everybody. And as always, go Pirates.
That concludes this week's edition of Extra Innings, presented by Next Level Training Center on the Sports Objective. Join us next Sunday night as we will once again talk East Carolina Pirate baseball. Be sure to follow the show on social media at the Sports OBJ on Twitter, at the Sports Objective on Instagram. Like and follow our Facebook page and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Listen to the show pretty much anywhere podcasts are found. As always, we appreciate you tuning into the show. Go Pirates!